Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I feel like our team is full of a bunch of guys that, like, lovable guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of different fans, like, naturally get behind us because it's a lot of different personalities.
I agree. You don't have any assholes. Like, I really don't think
well,
you do.
Well, you said it. I didn't say that.
Name names.
What's up, everybody? We back. Another episode, another week, R2C2.
And it means that we also get to take a moment and be proud of ourselves again for once again delivering on a Thursday, you know?
Yes, yes.
I mean, we have kept the streak alive here in 2019.
We have.
We promised every Thursday. We delivered. And I'm just so proud of us for doing so. So, see, we're in Minnesota. And DJ LeMahieu is our guest today. Many people have wanted to talk to. But before we get to DJ, first and foremost, that game Tuesday night against the Twins, I mean, can you, I mean, just like for me, that's one of the most wild games I've ever seen. That's certainly one of the most.
We got Boog and
Boog Ciambi in the building. Yeah.
Came through.
You guys got to
come on the podcast, man.
That's it. I love
this
it.
This the only way I'm doing a game like this.
Boog Ciambi and David Ross walking into the booth. They are going to be, I guess, calling the game for ESPN tonight.
Yeah, ESPN tonight.
Yeah. But see, I mean, that seemed insanely wild, obviously, calling it and watching it. How wild was it for you guys?
Man, that shit was crazy. It was just a wild game. Like, somebody summed it up best. I think it was Reggie Willits. He was like, it was like watching a Rocky movie. It was just crazy, like, just blow after blow and run after run and good at bat after good at bat on both sides. Like, it was just insane. It was insane, a crazy game. And it was just cool that we came out on top, Hixie, with – huge plays, the catch, the homer, Didi making the play up the middle, almost turning that double play, which would have been, I mean, unbelievable to end.
Yeah.
The game. That would have been a sick to end the game too.
Oh my gosh,
so
that would have been.
It was going to take a play like that to end this game, you know. So
yeah.
That was crazy
because you know they were going to hit a rocket because that's all they hit.
Yeah, it was, and I was kind of like I hopped out over the rail. It was almost like a walk-off catch.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It was like, that shit was insane, man. Bases loaded, like, crazy,
yeah,
crazy,
did
crazy.
You,
good
did
pitch,
you feel,
good pitch from Greeny, even better swing from Kepler, and just a great catch from Hixie.
So you jumped the railing to go celebrate
I jumped the railing, man, and, like, Garver was rounding third.
That's like you on Derek's walk-off,
final game
of this stadium,
right
as the dude was sliding home, and you're already on the
I
field
get too
with
fucking
Jeter.
Excited, man.
Oh, that's great, man. I mean, see, that's. I mean, you only have but so many more days like that, right? I mean, so it's got you. Got to take advantage. You got to enjoy it and have fun with it, man.
It's crazy. It's been a fun year, just, you know, all around, because we've been playing good and winning ball games, and, you know, just to be a part of a game like that and coming out on top was crazy.
Did you think Hicks was going to get there?
No, but I was standing next to Gardy when the ball was hit, and Gardy was like, look at Hixie. So he knew that Hixie was going to catch it.
Ooh.
And, but I didn't. I mean, when the ball was hit, I thought it was game over for sure.
Yeah, man. I mean, because it also had some tail to it, you know?
Yeah, it was getting away from him.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I thought, you know, that there was, I thought it was going to be really difficult for him to catch up with that, you know? That was... it just, like, you know what's funny, see? There were so many moments in that game where you felt like, okay, that's the one. You know, all right. So, first of all, you know, when Sano hits a 3-run homer off Herman, and you're like, it's 8-2, and you're like, well, you know.
Not for me.
No? Too many at-bats for your offense.
Yeah, man. You give us 4, 5, 6 at-bats, like, we're going to score some runs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just keep it close. And, you know, even when it was 8-2, I still felt like we – we were going to score some runs.
And you got back in it and pretty it much right away with the, think, yeah, with the three-run homer by Didi.
When it was 8-5,
yeah.
to five, I was like, okay, we got
it,
you know.
Yeah. I mean, and then, you know, and then Didi gets the other hit to put you guys up, and it's like, oh, man, like all the way back. And at that point, it's already a wild game because it's a crazy comeback.
Yeah, Tuchman hits that ball.
Yep, exactly. That whole eighth inning, five runs. And so it's already a bizarre, crazy game. And then you have the Snow homer in the bottom of the inning. Then you get two outs, nobody on. Tuchman had a great at-bat working that walk against
Rogers. Rogers, yeah.
And then Hicks, first pitch that he sees. Unbelievable, man. Man,
Taki's been putting together some great at-bats just the last three or four nights, you know what I'm saying? Filling in for Gardy, doing a great job. You know, since that Colorado series, he's been having some good at-bats.
You want to hear something wild? Over his last, like, 24 games, he's hitting, like, 360.
Wow.
It's crazy, yeah. man. Like,
I mean, he's locked in right now.
He must be rewatching Game of Thrones and just, you know, getting locked in, fired up, man. Because ever since the Game of Thrones episode, no,
it was Stranger Things. He's locked into Stranger Things.
Is that a show now?
He just got finished with that.
Is he also like a source of information on that show for everyone?
I mean, I think we all are on that show. Yeah. Because that's kind of pretty
self-explanatory.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like,
whereas, like, Game of Thrones, he's read the books
and everything.
Game of Thrones,
he's read the books. There's extra shit to get into, you know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, I mean, we all were into Stranger Things.
How was the clubhouse after? I mean, were you guys, was that a game where, like, is a little different celebration in there?
Oh, yeah, we were fired up. I mean, yeah, that's the only way to explain it. We were excited we won that game.
Did Judge get the music going right away?
We always get the music going right away.
Yeah.
I always want the lights off, though, because we, you know, at home, we get our laser show and stuff going. So, but it was good, though. We gave, you know, we did the belt celebration and stuff. It was fun.
So who gets the belt last night, Hicksie or Didi?
Who got the belt last night? Hicksie got the belt last night, but Glaber said we needed two belts because he felt like he deserved a belt.
That's tremendous.
That 3-0 single, man. Yeah, you know, man. To get the scoring started in the 10th was awesome.
Oh, my gosh. No, now you're using phrases like get the scoring started. You're really becoming a broadcaster.
No,
so
I'm
you
not.
See that sitting up here? So you're reading the Twins media guide.
I was reading the Twins media guide.
Reading up on Brad Radke.
Yeah.
You know, get ready to go on air tonight. I don't know. Coney and I might need vocal relief after last night, so you might have to be ready, man.
Is that who's going to game with you right now, Coney?
Yeah, it was fun, man. It was fun. Coney is into that
game.
You've
gotten some exciting games, too, like since you've gotten this Wally Pip gig.
Bro, it has been wild, though, man, because the first game I think I stepped in for Michael was the game that you guys hit the home run record.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
then
yeah.
I got a walk-off. Then I got there was something else like in the midst of this, some crazy game that I had. But yeah, man, it's been a good run. Yeah, it has been, man, and it's so fun. You guys are so fun to watch, man. It's just like because you know you're always in it, you know, like
yeah, like I mean, like we were just talking about, you know, now 8-2. Even the Sunday game against Colorado, they jumped out to an early lead, scored some runs, and you still feel like we can.
Yeah,
you know, we're in it. We can score some runs to win the game.
It's been awesome, man. It's been so fun to call. I get to the Thursday game at Fenway. I'm going to call my first game there, so that's cool. That'll be a fun atmosphere, I'm sure, man. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. How about did you get to watch any of the Hall of Fame stuff last week?
It was so hard because we were playing. That's what we were just talking about. Like we felt like players feel like we should have an off day that day.
Yeah,
where like we can watch and you know even some of us want to go play. You know, you have former teammates and stuff. I know a lot of guys around here in organization and stuff would have loved to went up to see Mo and Moose go in, but I got a chance to see Mo's speech and you know it was awesome. It seemed like a good day.
What was it like or you know when you're a starter and you have Mo at the back end of the bullpen? What was that like through the years that you played with him?
Oh, I mean, you just know that the game's over. You know what I'm saying? Like you just know if you have a good start, you go 7-8 innings. You know, you get the ball to him, the game's gonna be over. So that was like when I got here, it was an adjustment period for me because I had always wanted to finish every game that I started.
Yeah.
And when I got here, you know, it was just get the ball to Mo. So it was a relief.
What about, yeah, man. I mean, he's just like, you know, I always say, and I think I've used this phrase maybe with you before, but like true greatness is when you know they're great, but you're watching and you still have to like say it, you know, like it's like, and I remember there's so many times, like, obviously, you knew Mariano was great for years upon years upon years, but I would watch him even in his final year and I'd be like, man, is he great. Like, you know, you just got to say it. He's that, he's so good.
He was still good. I mean, even he threw out the first pitch the other day when it was, he could probably still get outs right now.
He probably could, man. Hey, the way that your bullpen's taxed right now, you might need him for a little period of time, man. But it is wild, man, at just how great he was. And how about personality-wise, see? Like, I mean, he just always seemed, and I knew him, you know, a little bit, obviously, but he just seemed to be, like, always so, like, poised and graceful, yet a tenacious competitor.
Oh, yeah. He was always just so level. I mean, you know, just even keel all the time. In the clubhouse, on the field, you can go to him with any kind of problem you had. He was always there willing to help you out. Do whatever you needed, and but when he was out there on the field, you know, nobody wanted to win, you know, more than him. So he was, you know, just an all around great person, great guy, and, you know, deserving of the unanimous decision, for sure.
Now I have to ask you, did you think at all about what your speech might be like someday at Cooperstown?
No,
watching that,
I haven't. I didn't think about that.
No. What do you think, man? Like, I mean, you know, God willing, that day comes for you. It will. Do you think you'd be, like, how nervous do you think you'd be up there, like, giving a speech on that day?
I'll be nervous for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. But I think it'll be fun. You know, like, I see everything that they do that whole weekend and, you know, the golf outing, the parade, the party that you get to have with the organization and everything. It seems like a really, really fun deal. So, I'm looking forward to all of that.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what Suit Amber's going to pick for you for that, man. You know,
I'm actually looking forward to Jeets next year. You
yeah,
know? Like,
man.
Just getting a chance to kind of get a feel for it and see what it's
go?
All about. Hell yeah, I'm going.
Yeah, good, man. Yeah,
I would have went this year.
Yeah.
I
went
this year. I seen Andy and Jorge was there, and I think
Tino and Bernie.
Tino and Bernie. Yeah,
and Jeet.
Jeet was there. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Pretty cool, man. I mean, it's just awesome, really is. Well, see, this guy, people have been wanting to hear from DJ LeMahieu.
I'm sure.
You know,
I'm sure. He don't do many interviews and shit, right?
No, man. Like, you know what it is? It's just like,
I've never seen him, like, post-game. Like, I haven't, you know what I'm saying?
he just, like, he's very, you know, he's very quiet in his
just
post-game
to,
stuff.
Yeah, just to you guys, I guess.
Yeah, is he loud in the clubhouse?
He's not loud, but he's not quiet either.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay. All right, that's good. So he's got, like, you know what I noticed from this, and I think the audience will see as well, even though he's still more subdued than some of our guests we have on, he had a lot of, like, good, funny one-liners that you may not have expected from him, knowing his personality.
And,
you know?
And he gets excited. You know, he gets fired up about certain things. So it was cool to see him, like, to get excited about, you know, a few things in the conversation. It's fun.
Absolutely. So here it is. Without further ado, DJ LeMahieu. See, that might be your greatest quality. You have a tremendous laugh, man.
Oh, thanks, cuz.
Yeah, you really do.
I like to laugh.
Yeah.
That, you know.
You have a great laugh.
Some people don't like to laugh.
You know, George King always says he can, like, hear your laugh outside when
recording.
You
know who I feel like a person who don't like to laugh is? Like Dame Lillard. I feel like he's always trying to be, like, ice cold. You know what I'm saying? Like, he don't ever want to smile. Like, nothing's fun.
Doesn't
you know
want anybody to see that.
I've seen, like, a couple of clips where, like, he's, like, looking at the jumbo trying to get hype, and he knows he's on the camera, and he's like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
he doesn't ever want anyone to see that in him.
Nah.
Maybe he's got a little La Machine in him then, you know? Like, he might. So, DJ, like, I have to tell you, when we told people we were going to have you on, we may have gotten more reaction to this, like, excitement from Yankee fans than I think anybody. Because they love you, man. Like, have you felt how much these fans love you?
Yeah. It's been fun. Yeah, obviously, it's playing at Yankee Stadium is just a lot of fun. And, you know, the magnifying glass here in New York's a little different than in the rest of my career. So, yeah, it's people just here, they just love baseball.
Yeah.
They love baseball, and you know, it's just fun to be a part of, that's for sure.
The other thing is, like, you know, you come across very much as like just a quiet killer on the field, you know? And I'm like, I'm always picturing, are you the dude who's actually like in the locker room, like cracking jokes nonstop and whatnot? Like, how would you describe your personality from what we see on the field to the way you are behind the scenes with the guys?
No, I'm not the jokester by any means. No, but I'm pretty low key off the field, and I feel like I try to lock it in a little bit on the field. And you know, the personality doesn't usually come out too much on the field, but hopefully a little bit more off the field at least.
Nah, it's good. I mean, but that's, you know, guys, you know, got everybody has their personality and their thing, you know, so. You know, when he comes to the field, he, you know, he's locking it in, get ready for the game. So.
Are you looking at him like, dude, this guy's a killer when you're watching him on the field? And
nah,
just
it's just
intense?
Fun to watch, man, because, you know, obviously playing in the National League for so long and not getting a chance to see him play, you know, you don't know how good he actually is. So, you know, getting to see him play every day is fun.
I you know what, I see, like, DJ, I see you as the kind of dude who, this is what Adam Ottavino, not to, you know, flower all these compliments on you right in front of you, but like, this is what Otto said to me when I was asking him about you in spring training. He said, DJ LeMahieu is the kind of dude who, like, you're going to, when you watch him every day, he's going to be every Yankee fan's favorite player.
He did say that.
He said that in spring, and
yeah.
I was like, that was a perfectly accurate description. I think, like, you know, people may not have known, and they knew your accomplishments there, but, like, watching you every day, it's like you're the kind of dude who's like, oh, I want that guy on my team, you know? And, like, I don't know. Do you like being known as that kind of a guy?
I guess there could be worse things to be known for.
Sure.
That's a great point, man.
I feel like our team is full of a bunch of guys that, like, lovable guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, Judgy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we have a team. It's a different Yankee team.
Yeah.
Where, like, a lot of different fans, like, nationally get behind us because it's a lot of different personalities.
I agree. You don't have any assholes. Like, I really don't think
you said it. I didn't say that.
Name names. I really do. I mean, you guys, you have a bunch of good dudes.
Nah, it's a good clubhouse. It's a fun group to be a part of.
So, DJ, is it a palpable difference coming and playing here with the Yankees, this atmosphere, this environment, compared to what you experienced earlier in your career?
Yeah. It's easy to get up for games here, that's for sure. You know, like I said, the stadium's into it, the crowd's into it, fans are into it. Go on the road, still a bunch of Yankee fans. So yeah, it's different, and I love it.
Well, like LSU was like that, right? Like in college, I mean, not like this, but I'm saying like every game, like a home game and stuff, was
I'd say it's similar.
Yeah,
you know, when I was at LSU, they were like, "We're the Yankees of college baseball."
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like that is lit every night. Like
for sure.
How many people would you guys have at those games?
Weekends, we get 8,000-10,000 a game, and
wow,
that's crazy.
But they were
that's
into awesome. It. You know, they knew baseball. They love baseball, so yeah, it was fun.
Now you guys won a national title when you were there,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. What was that experience like? Like, what is it like being in those games in the College World Series?
The College World Series is like when you're in college baseball, that's the World Series, you know, even just being in Omaha.
Mm.
You know, you play in front of 10,000 and then you go in front of play in front of 30,000 and all of a sudden you have people behind you and, you know, that's like the pinnacle of college baseball. So it's just really fun. Yeah.
Excuse my ignorance on this, DJ, but how'd you perform in that in the College World Series there in Omaha? Because I'm picturing you hitting about 800 based on what I've seen here in clutch spots.
I played pretty well. Yeah, we were there 2 years. The first year we went 1-2, and then our second year we won it. I think we won the first three or whatever, and then. Had three with Texas and went to game three with Texas and ended up winning it. So, yeah, it was good. It was fun.
That must be intense. A game three of College World Series.
I hate, like, any kind of elimination game.
Yeah.
Especially if I'm not playing in it, because a lot of them I don't get to play in. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm fucking watching. I hate that shit.
Just nervous.
That's the worst, man. That's the worst.
You've had that with the wild card games over the last...
The wild card games. Game sevens, you know what I'm saying? Mm. I'd much rather be pitching in those. game fives or sevens or whatever than, you know, than watching that shit.
Sitting watching your fate in someone else's
Fuck
hands.
That, man. I hate that shit.
DJ, what about the Yankees drew you to this team in the offseason? Because, you know, there's been a lot of different stories about how, like, hey, you wanted to play here. Like, you wanted this challenge. So, I mean, how early on did you think, like, that's a place I'd like to land?
Yeah, you know, when I was with the Rockies, I thought I was going to be a Rocky, you know, you know, things didn't work out there at the end. And you know, when I finally turned the page in early this offseason, you know, the Yankees were, you know, obviously a place I really wanted to be. And kind of from the outside, you look at the talent on this team, the guys on this team, and you could just tell something special was building. As you know, once I turned that page with the Rockies, and the Yankees were one of the first teams to call. So I was all in for sure.
It's hard to get over that though. Like that first initial, I'm going to be an Indian my whole career. I'm going to be a Rocky my whole career. Cause like you get drafted by that team. So you automatically just fall in love with that squad. And like, you feel like they love you too. You know what I'm saying?
Until
some shit happens, you go to arbitration or you're like a free agent and you're like, fuck, man, y'all really don't. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just weird. Like, but it happens all the time. And it happens in everybody's career. You know, it happens, whether it happens early or late, you know, like Dylan had the same thing here with arbitration. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just one of those things where in every athlete's career, you're going to find that point where...
Does a switch then flip where you're like, the words mean nothing anymore that you say about me. It's
just
a
lesson learned. You know what I'm saying? You just learn that lesson as an athlete. Everybody has to go through it because, you know, whoever you get drafted by, you're like, oh, no, I mean, that's my squad. You know? So it's a different... it's hard to kind of turn that page.
Did you have that moment, DJ? Maybe it was like beginning of free agency or something where you're like, oh, wait, no, I thought you guys loved me. Okay, you know what? If this is the way it is, this is how I'm okay to move on then.
Yeah, real early this offseason, you know. I just kind of got to the point where it's like, you know what? I won't, you know. At this point, like, let's just go somewhere else. I just want to win. Like, I want to win and be on a sick team and let's go.
You know, that's the other thing that Adam was saying, describing in the beginning, was like, this dude, he's built for New York because he like thrives off the winning environment. Do you view yourself that way, DJ, as a guy who like, you know, you're going to be at your best when you're in an environment that is sort of all about winning?
I mean, I'd like to think so, but you just never know till you get here, right? You know, it just coming in, even, you know, spring training, you could tell real quick with the guys in this locker room, you know, Seagardy, some older guys, and Judge even, you know, it's an easy clubhouse to feel comfortable, and that's a huge help, you know, for me. I'm not a rookie, but, you know, being a new guy, you know, it's just being comfortable from day one, it helps.
I would still be nervous if I was, like, walking into a new team, even if I'm coming with skills and credentials.
You still get nervous. I mean, it's just a different, you know, different organization, different trainers, different people you got to say hello to. You get used to, you know, saying, you know, hi and, you know, seeing certain people. But I think when you, you know, like, when you come here or you come to certain teams, it's a lot of pressure, obviously. But when you have a good team, you don't have to do as much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, when I was younger and on Cleveland, I always say this, I would always want to be the reason why we won, and I would always end up being the reason why we lost.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just, I would just try to shoulder too much, and then I get here, and I'm like, fuck, man, I got Jeet, A-Rod, Cano, like, just go throw my little seven innings. I got, you know, Mo in the back. We going to win the game. So it takes a lot of pressure off coming here, which is weird, man. Yeah. It's a weird thing.
Yep.
You know what's funny about that? That, like, almost, it reminds me, you know how I love to compare it to broadcasting? It reminds me of almost, like, I always say, like, when I prepare in a silo as if I'm the only person who's capable of affecting the broadcast so that you're totally prepared to succeed, right?
That sounds like some shit a therapist told you.
Yeah, no. You know what? I would be a good therapist. You know I would. You know I would. But I really do. That was the nicest compliment you could pay me. But I really do feel that way. But then you get on air and it's like, I have an unbelievable producer, you know, for Yankees and Bill Bolin, and our director, John Moore, is the best in the country. And, you know, I got these great analysts. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, like the load, it's not as hard. You know what I mean? You got all this help. So yeah, like,
it's a lot of pressure. It's hard. It's a lot of pressure, but it's easier when you, you know, when you're in this environment and you got great players.
DJ, how about you? Like, what, how do you spend your off day? Like, what, what's a, like a relaxing, fun DJ LeMahieu day away from the field?
Honestly, I wake up and I'm like, I'm not doing anything today. I might not get out of bed. I might order room service or Postmates three times. But those days usually, you know, I wake up the next day and I'm like, I just completely wasted my day. So I try to get out and do something and go to a movie or, I mean, I know it sounds stupid, but even just going for a walk and getting out or seeing something in a city or whatever.
Yeah.
Just being sort of productive, but at the same time, getting plenty of rest.
I did that on the Thursday after the All-Star break. I fucking totally wasted that day. I didn't get out of bed.
This dude texted us like, it's 4 p.m. I haven't left bed yet.
I didn't
yet.
Get out of bed. And then I woke up Friday and had to come here. I'm like, fuck, man, I wasted a whole day. Like,
I know what you mean, though. There is a guilt, right, sets in at some point. Like, shouldn't I do something?
But
like,
for us, I mean, because we don't get days off.
No.
You know what I'm saying? And it's every day. And it's, he playing every day. You know what I'm saying? So when you get a chance to rest, like, you want to rest, but then you feel like, fuck, man, I ain't do nothing. Like,
yeah. What, are you a big, like, show guy, like TV show guy that you get into? Do you binge watch things at all, or are you more of a movie dude?
Yeah, I watch shows.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What show? Because you know this guy has watched every show in the history of television.
Oh, I know. So, yeah, yeah.
What show are you into right now?
Believe it or not, I'm rewatching Sopranos.
Oh, nice. Yeah. All right. Very good.
Just Ryan did that. You just did that, right? A couple months ago.
I did, yeah. I just did it. But it was the first time I'd ever seen it. I loved it, man. I mean, obviously, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite character?
I mean, I guess you got to go with Tony, but...
He is an amazing character. He really is.
But, I just... That show's legit. And, I mean, I watched, like, parts of it when it was out. But I was, you know, it was out in the 2000s?
Yeah.
Early 2000s. Early 2000s. So now rewatching it. You know, I kind of get the backstories and stuff.
I like that, man. Are you you go on vacation. Are you an adventurous dude? Are you like trying to, you know, are you going to be shark diving like this crazy dude? Give me a drink and sit me at the pool and I'm good?
No, I'm definitely trying to get out. Yeah. I'm not trying to dive with sharks or nothing. I need to get out and do something, yeah.
Do you hunt in off season?
Yeah, hunt a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. Northern Michigan.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd call myself a hunter, but I'm like buddies back home.
But it's good up there, right? It's like
it's really
up there.
Yeah.
I know Gardy goes up there a couple times.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I enjoy it. I didn't grow up hunting, but, you know, my buddies do it. And, it's cool. I'll definitely get more into it after baseball. Yeah.
Yeah. But you, Lions fan.
No, man.
No.
Come on, man. That's torture.
It's all good, man. Football season coming up. This is the only time I can feel good about the Raiders. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel really good right now until the first fucking game.
Yeah, exactly. That thing's changed, man. That thing's changed. Who's your football team then?
My fantasy team.
Okay. All right. So you. So it's like you don't have a team. Your fantasy team is your team.
That's my squad.
How about if the Lions all of a sudden were like in the NFC Championship game? Would you be like? Would you be getting into it?
He'd be right down there.
You'd be like, hey, remember? You know, I'm having an MVP season for the Yankees. Would you like to provide me with these front row tickets? That's how it would go down.
Nah, you got it. It's hard, man. Like the Raiders. I wish I could not root for the Raiders, man.
But it's just in there.
It's in there.
You can't pull a DJ and just reroute to the fantasy team.
But that's why I like root for whoever I want in the NBA.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not locked into one team. You know what I'm saying?
And you'll notice that when C becomes a Lakers fan this year and abandons the Warriors.
I don't think I'm going with the Lakers, man.
No? Come to Brooklyn, man. We want you here.
I think I'm going to ride with the Warriors for a little bit. I think that Kawhi going to the Clippers helped me out a little bit.
All right. Okay. I think you're right about that. I think the Warriors could still win it. DJ, what's the sport you watch most outside of baseball?
Basketball and hockey.
Oh, really? Yeah, okay, cool. Who are you? Do you have teams in those sports?
Pistons, And Pistons and Red Wings. Yeah.
Nice,
but
man.
But same with C. I just like watching. I mean, I'll watch any game with either sport. I'll just watch if whatever's on TV.
The Pistons, they're in an interesting spot, right? Because like I don't know if they can how much higher they can go with their current roster composition.
Yeah, they just signed D. Rose, right?
Yeah, they did sign D. Rose. And Blake Griffin had a great year last year.
And he put it all on the line last year coming out playing in that game with a bad knee. And
I was broadcasting that game three. Yeah, when he came out and played.
He could barely fucking run, man. That was legit.
That's nuts. Do you get into it? Like, are you, when you're watching as a fan, like, this crazy motherfucker, he'll go nuts watching his teams play. Like, are you watching your teams like going nuts, throwing stuff at the TV and whatnot as you're watching them?
No. No.
You're much more of a calm fan?
I would think so.
Yeah. How about, okay, so we have some questions from our following on Twitter. HBreeze242 said, what are your interests outside of baseball? We kind of talked about that, but how about if you were going to say your main interest outside of baseball, what would it be?
Like watching sports, playing video games.
Video games. All right.
Nothing special.
All right. This is C's goal when he's done with his career is get back into video games.
Yeah, that's like a goal of mine.
Which is terrific. I like this one. This is just a joke, but I thought it was funny. F Camps 87. When was the first time you realized you could walk on water? See, I told you, man. The Yankee fans love you, DJ. All right, Matt Tisk wants to know, when you signed with the Yankees, who was the first teammate to reach out to you?
Let's see.
That's a good question.
Otto wasn't signed yet, but he just texted me. Guardy texted me. So
nice, man.
That was good.
Like Otto hadn't signed, but it was like already like
it was
he
happening.
Was already coming. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like that was already
everybody knew it was going to go down regardless. Yeah. This is something we want to know anyway. It's P. Hedge wants to know, how do you keep such a comfortable approach at the plate in high leverage situations?
I don't do anything different. Nothing different. Just like we were talking about with C. I don't feel like I have to do anything different, you know, if I don't come through, someone else will. So just no pressure really in those situations and just a chance to put some runs on the board.
Do you ever feel nervous? You look like you're never nervous.
Yeah, I get nervous.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. More before games.
Interesting.
Not as much, you know, during the games, but, you know, the negative thoughts, they always come in your mind. I don't care who you are, you're going to get negative thoughts, but it's turning that into, you know, better focus. You know, for me, it's turning those negative thoughts into better focus rather than letting those weigh you down. So
do you have a mechanism that kind of like helps you turn that negative thought into focus?
No, I just think being around the game now for a little while, you kind of know, you kind of know how those thoughts affect you more and more. Yeah.
Cause we talk about that with Chad and, you know, his value just in kind of like turning things mentally into, you know, into a positive for you. All right. Here's Mark Morabito, sort of along the same lines, wants to know, your calm demeanor and competitive fire he feels are built for New York. Is this something you learned, like the mentality you're talking about now, is it something you learned or have you kind of had that instilled with you since you were a young guy?
I think it's always been in me. you know, I've always been a competitive person. But I think, like we just talked about, it's just channeling that day in and day out. More consistently, I think, is the key.
All right, a couple more. See, do you have time for a couple more before your bullpen, or what do you think?
Nah, we good.
All right, sounds
Larry's
good.
Larry's going to fucking kill me. I can just walk in because I'm still dressed. I can just walk in like, oh, man, I overslept.
Oh, my gosh, man. Oh, no. All right, we'll do two more for you. All right, Noah Broderick just wants to know, when you won your batting title, were you looking at the leaderboard every day, and how tough was that to deal with?
Yeah, it was weird because, first of all, we were way out of it. We were, you know, 20 games out of first or whatever. So we were out of it the last month. And it was coming down to me and Murphy. And, you know, I kept saying, oh, yeah, I don't care about that. I'm just trying to hit. But I was looking at it every day.
And, I always wondered. Like,
Murph was, he was hurt. He was hurt the last 3 weeks. So he wasn't going anywhere. So you know, I just had to keep going. And
but did that make it easier where it was just like a number?
Yeah, maybe.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because if he was going up and down too, but if it's just like a number because he's down for 3 weeks, then you're just chasing a number. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Keeping above a number.
Probably.
Like,
yeah.
That is awesome. I love that answer. And then this is just a fun one from Estevan NY. If aliens landed on Earth, this is for all of us, tomorrow, and they offered to take us to their planet, would you go? Like, it wasn't like an abduction. It was like an offer. Like, hey, we can take you from Earth right now. You can come live in our planet where you have unlimited resources.
Well,
and whatever.
It depends on what am I getting into?
I don't know.
Where am I going? What planet am I?
Is there certain planets you'd say yes to and certain planets you'd say no to?
Yeah, definitely. Hell yeah. There's certain planets I would say yes to.
So you're like, yo, Jupiter? Nah. Pluto? Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, certain shit I got to weigh in. You know?
I guess that makes sense. What about you, DJ?
I'm out.
I love it.
But I'm not thinking like Jupiter and Saturn and shit. It's going to be some different planets. Like, some shit we don't even know about.
Okay, all right. You want to hear a planet you've never heard of.
Yeah.
Okay, and then he's in.
Yeah, and then I'm in.
Okay, fair enough.
None of this shit that we know about.
Oh, good. Well, DJ, we don't want Larry to yell at CC too much, but thank you for doing this, man. Fans have wanted it for a long time, man. We appreciate it.
For sure.
And thanks for your honesty about the batting title. We appreciate it. That's DJ LeMahieu. Well, first of all, I just have to say, while we're standing up here, you not only are podcast host and future Hall of Fame pitcher, you are also radio engineer, because we were about to lose a crowd, Mike, man. You caught it. That was very nicely done.
Yeah, I didn't want the people on the radio tonight get the ambiance of the stadium tonight.
That's a great point. But, man, I'm glad we got to talk to DJ and get to hear a little more of his personality. I didn't realize he was a big show guy, too, and movie guy, man.
Yeah, a big show guy.
I don't know. I guess I just picture him sitting in a dark room watching like game film all the time. Like, that's it.
You know what's crazy? Baseball players in general are show guys.
That's it.
We have a lot of time to just do nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
Where you're on the road, right? Because you're not getting to the ballpark till whatever time. Yeah. Yada, yada.
I finished Last Chance U and Stranger Things in 2 days.
Oh, my gosh.
Both shows in 2 days.
Impressive.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's a terrific output on your part. Very nice.
That's why I don't like to get into stuff, because then it's like I'm just now I have nothing to watch. Like, I got nothing to watch in Boston.
Oh, that's great. Well, you know what? You can watch the trade rumors coming up on the trade deadline.
Fuck that.
You're just gonna when it happens, it happens.
I just wait.
Yeah. You don't need to be.
It's too stressful, man.
Yeah, you don't need to be on Twitter checking that all out.
No,
you don't. We'll see. Next Thursday we'll have another episode, man.
Yes, we will.
All right, and make sure everyone rate, review, subscribe.
Why you didn't ask DJ to do that?
You know what? That's a great question. I should have, man. We've been doing that for all of our guests, man. You think he would have done it?
He would have done it.
Damn,
he just didn't ask him.
Oh, we got to get DJ back on just for that point. But anyway, you know, for now, you'll just have to listen to us tell you to rate, review, subscribe. Make sure you keep spreading the word. And also follow us on Twitter like CC is now.
For sure.
@R2C2. Peace.